It's official. Real Ghost Stories Online and the Grave Talks will be live at the Crescent Hotel for one night only, August 11th, 2019 at 7 p.m. And you are invited. I'm Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online, and I can't wait to meet you at the Crescent Hotel this August 11th for an awesome night of ghost stories. We're going to have a lot of fun at the Crescent Hotel that night as we record an episode of Real Ghost Stories Online live. The stories on this episode come from you guys, the audience, live at the Crescent. Then it's a live episode of The Grave Talks as we talk with Crescent historian and paranormal investigator Keith Scales. We'll learn all about the history of the hotel, how it came to be, why it's haunted today, what goes on at the haunted Crescent Hotel, and allow you guys to ask your questions as well with a live Q&A segment. It's a fun night full of ghost stories at the historic haunted Crescent Hotel, a hotel that we've had many stories from shared about over the years here on the show. Tickets are only $25 a piece and are on sale now. Go to realghoststoriesonline.com and click on the Live at the Crescent Hotel banner to purchase yours. They are very limited, though, and when they are gone, they are gone. Real Ghost Stories Online and The Grave Talks live at the Crescent Hotel in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, August 11th, 2019. Get your tickets now at realghoststoriesonline.com. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, a sensitive recounts multiple paranormal encounters throughout their life. Something keeps triggering the alarm at a workplace every night, but who or what is it? And what is the identity of an unexplained man watching a man sleep? Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome. Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Then it is 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Writing your real ghost story at realghoststoriesonline.com or email your audio file to us, Tony at realghoststoriesonline.com. If you like the show, support us, keep us on the air, become an EPP extra podcast person at ghostpodcast.com. Get access to all the bonus episodes, brand new ones every single week, advanced episodes, advanced information on ticket sales, on everything, basically, EPPs find about. But first, at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. So lots of ways to get your extras there. So check that out. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again. Oh, there we go. There's your mic. Hi.
Hi.
Hi. And I'll just get this out of the way right away because I know there's a lot of people that heard the headlines and they were like, oh, there's going to be a joke. So the headline of who is the mysterious man watching the woman sleep?
Now, usually I don't do this.
I think we know the answer to that.
Go ahead on, break them
okay.
off.
Ready?
Of the remix. Now, I'm not trying to be rude, but hey, pretty.
Okay. I had to get at least one R. Kelly joke in this week.
Okay.
So that's.
You feel better?
Feel better. It's refreshing. It's like a fresh cup of coffee.
Yeah.
I don't know. Making obscure jokes about horrible people. It's just kind of my thing.
Yeah, it kind of is.
Did I do any of... Well, I probably shouldn't talk about the horrible jokes that I made on our first date. That would be probably bad.
No.
Did I talk about celebrities or anything, though? Or did,
no.
You know, what events?
Yeah, nothing we can talk about on here.
Yeah. But hey, you...
didn't scare me off.
What the hell was going through your mind? Quite honestly.
But he's just showing his full-on freak flag and...
Did I say anything weird in our first, like, our interactions on email?
No.
That was, like, funny?
No, you were like a normal person there. And then the real Tony came out on our first date.
Was it different than the one that you were talking to?
No. No. I could tell the sweet guy that I was talking to online was still there.
Yeah.
You also had a very bad sense of humor.
Bad or warped or
warped. Okay. Not bad and like you don't get humor, but warped.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Well, we got our joking for the week. So, 855-853-4802 is our phone number. That Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. I had coffee today for the first time
months.
I think I've had like a cup or two here or there.
You had like a pot today.
I did.
Yeah.
I miss coffee.
You miss coffee, but you drank so much coffee on that first date. I think there is something tied. You on coffee equals terrible jokes.
Is that the caffeine?
I don't know what it is.
I don't know. Like it I don't know. I switched to tea for the longest time. And I like tea.
Mm-hmm.
I know tea, some of it has caffeine, but it's nowhere near like, tea like calms me.
And you just didn't want that today, did you?
I don't know. It's like, okay. It's like peace and serenity. Fuck that.
Yeah, that's kind of what's going on here.
Let's have some coffee. So, I don't know. I'm like, coffee. I kind of like coffee again.
Okay. Well, that's fine for you.
Not a horrible thing.
I'm not going to partake.
No coffee.
It makes me jittery and anxious.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
I don't necessarily. It used to give me stomach aches.
Mm-hmm.
So if it starts doing that again, I'm going to quit coffee. But I might drink a little more coffee. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. Let's jump over to our first story here of the day. It says something keeps triggering the alarm at our workplace. That's a headline I missed. Here we go. Hey, Tony and Jenny, I'm writing in to tell you two about a few stories. Before I get into these stories, I feel I must give some background information. I have a strong ancestry in Scottish and Irish line and Cherokee Native Americans. They can trace back and find one of my ancestors who was. Oh, okay. I thought you were going to come up. I turned your mic on.
No, I was just going to say I do, too. Scottish, Irish, and Cherokee.
Did you write this story?
No, I did not write this one.
I thought you were going to come to the mic and say, we already did this story.
No.
I don't think we did. If sometimes people do write in twice.
Uh-huh.
Like, I think, they didn't get the story, and then I end up repeating it. So if I did, I apologize. So continuing on, Jenny ghost wrote this story. No, she did. Okay. They can trace back to find on my ancestors who was burned for being a witch. They could also find another who was the son of a demon. I don't know how you trace that one, but hey, Ancestry.com does amazing shit these days. My family has always had a strong connection to the other realm. My first story started when I was younger, maybe 14 to 15, in the town I grew up in. There was an old abandoned mill. My brothers and I decided to explore. Part of this mill was a silo. At the base was a small room with a ladder that ran the inside of the silo. My younger brother decided he must climb that ladder. My older brother and I told him no. He made it about 3 rings up. I got the super uneasy feeling and told them that we should leave. My younger brother said no and kept climbing. I started backing out when my older brother asked about the room at the top. I looked up and saw a shadow there. I didn't feel I could trust. The uneasy feeling became threatening at that point. I mentioned again that we should leave. My older brother was telling my younger to get down when he asked, "What's that noise?" It was this metal on something banging noise. My younger brother climbed down quick, but before he could, his feet hit the ground, a huge rock about the size of a softball hit the silo wall right next to him. He ran out quick. Next one I was 17 years old. I and my friends decided to play hide and go seek. Or ride and go seek. It's like hide and go seek, but you hide your car somewhere random around town and text your friends clues to find you. One set of my friends took off. They started texting us clues. Roughly 15 minutes go by, and they're texting a lot more clues, like one every 10 seconds. Finally, they just told us where they were. We started heading to the cemetery where they were hiding. When we turned onto the road, I got this feeling like something was upset that we were there and wanted to do harm. I wouldn't go in to the cemetery. I stayed in my car on the road. We made them come out. He said they heard footsteps and felt his car move. The next day, he sends a group chat with a pic of his car with 5 scratch marks, all even going down the driver's side of his car. Then when I was about 18 or 19, I was with some friends One of their moms said she caught a little boy face in a photo of the dog, in the photo of the dog that she took. We went down there, and she showed us, and you could somewhat see a little boy's face. Me and my other friend, who's sensitive like I am, she's a bit more tough. She can hear and see spirits. Side note, I've always been able to see spirits, but never hear them. Only see them and feel their emotions and know when one is around. Anyways, back to the story. We decided to do an investigation. We started in the kitchen. My friend and I got this sudden feeling to go upstairs. We made it upstairs and got to the landing, and I immediately said, "They aren't happy. They don't like us here." My other friend mentioned a dresser. So my friend's mom shows us all the dressers that are upstairs. I made it to the doorway of the last one. I fell to my knees. I suddenly felt super weak. I said that she was angry. I went downstairs. I couldn't handle it. The next day, my friend's mom took the dresser to the garage. She went back down there, and all I felt was someone was watching me. I couldn't find out from where. I faintly saw a little boy on the stairs. Mind you, my friend was 18 and her brother was 19. My sensitive friend looked and noticed him. The next thing I know, I'm saying he shouldn't be there. She'll be angry. He went home, past the kitchen. I then got this urge. I needed to leave. We left. The next day at school, my sensitive friend was humming a tune. I asked her if the boy told her, and she said no. She just woke up with it stuck in her head. I said, "I woke up with words stuck in my head," to which I told her, and she continued to hum, and I sang the words. It was a lullaby, the little boy told us. We told our friend's mom about it, and she sang it every day. She was cleaning, and a lot of activity quieted. So I had to ramble on and on, but I just wanted to get your input on what I was sensing the danger. I have these weird dreams about people and can see them. The emotions I've gotten used to. I still need answers.
I think this person's just an extremely sensitive empath.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's interesting because they said they can't hear ghosts. They can only see them and feel their emotions and know when they're there. And that instead of hearing the lullaby like his or her friend did, that they got the words. Like, I wonder if they read the words. Or saw the words.
Yeah. It's interesting that one had the melody and one had the lyrics.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Because you'd have to hear the melody.
And then for it to just like to know mm-hmm. where it goes. That's odd.
Mm-hmm.
That's odd. I kind of have that sometimes when I see there's like a new like Michael McDonald album or something.
Yeah.
Also, I'm just like, I know the words. I don't even have to like look at the lyrics. I can just,
mm-hmm.
I can just break into it.
Okay.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Do you ever get that?
No.
Like Sarah Bareilles or something?
Sarah Bareilles?
What's her, is it Bareilles? I would call her Bareilles.
So not really even in my top 10.
I know, but like, you have like a, there's a Pandora station for her.
Yeah, from forever ago.
Okay. So I,
no. I don't get that. I don't get, like, I'm trying artists to think, sending me songs in my sleep.
I was trying to think of a female artist that you listen to, and a lot of, I can't think of.
No.
I know, like some of the groups you listen to. That's yeah. what I was trying to, no.
Not many.
Hmm. What about, who were we listening to the other day? And we broke into song a little bit. It was kind of fun. We actually, you did. You broke into a little bit of song in the vehicle.
Yeah, with the kids, not on the show.
Yeah, and I believe it was Patti LaBelle.
No, it was not.
And Michael McDonald.
It was not.
It was. We were listening to, it was the Rick D's Weekly Top 40 from like 1982.
I thought you meant when me and the girls were singing Whitney Houston.
No, all of a sudden you're like,
well, because that's our thing.
Yeah.
If that comes on, I have to be Patti and you have to be Michael.
Okay.
That's how that goes.
So
don't
many
bring
times.
That on. So no.
God, it was forever. I'll do Patti. You do Michael.
No.
We'll switch
we're
roles.
Not doing that.
Da-da-da-da-da. I can do a pretty good Patti.
No, you can't. Not even a little bit.
Something in my heart. Oh, you. I'll be lying here beside you. I can hit the notes. Okay. Is it off? Is it really bad?
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
I guess I'm kind of tone deaf.
Yep.
What if I did both parts?
No.
Kind of throw your voice?
No.
Like a ventriloquist. I should put that on as a LinkedIn skill. We great, because every once in a while, like, someone professionally asks, are you in LinkedIn? I should be like, yeah, check it out. Number one skill, imitating Patti LaBelle and Michael McDonald on demand.
Okay.
That's number one way to win jobs. 855-853-4802. Our phone number, Real Ghost Stories Online. I can guarantee no one has that skill listed. That'd be unique. Says, I have several paranormal experiences in my life, but the one that still bothers me the most happened 40 years ago when I was 18. My life was very turbulent at that time, and I was making a few bad choices. Of course, most teenagers do, but in retrospect, I probably needed to make a change. One night, I was sleeping in my bed facing the wall. I woke up to the sound of a man and a woman closely whispering behind me like they were standing at the edge of my bed. They're arguing. I remember exactly what they were saying, even after all of those years. The man said, I can't leave until she's asleep. The woman said, she's asleep. We have to go. The man said, I don't think she's asleep. And I felt a sort of poke, a finger on my lower back. At this point, I caught my breath and tensed, but didn't move. The woman said, see, she's asleep. Come on, we have to go. The man said in a louder whisper, she's not asleep, and poked me much harder in the same spot. Definitely a finger. I quickly flipped around and sat up. No one was there. I have so many questions about this experience. Who were these entities? Why was this man watching me? Why was it important that he couldn't leave until I was asleep? And where did they need to go in such a hurry? From the tone of their voices, they sounded like they were in their early 30s. Odd how I can still hear their voices clearly after all this time. I honestly don't think that they were ghosts in the true sense of the word, but what else could they be? Do you know of anyone having similar experiences? Surely I'm not the only one. I'd love to know. Thank you for giving me a formed event. Maybe after writing about this, it will cease to haunt me. What's haunting me is that so many of the endings of those sentences were song titles. Holy shit. I went through that and I was like, boom, 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 boom. I was like, oh, I could. But can I get a little credit for not breaking into song there.
So, do you think they were ghosts, or do you think they were something like astral projections or something?
No, I mean, I think it was ghosts. I think it was almost like watching over, I don't know if it was guardian type spirits or something of that nature. It sounds like they had a purpose,
mm-hmm.
You know?
That's kind of what I was thinking. Like, they know that they're there. They're conscious entities. Mm-hmm. I love it when I try and say something and it gets all garbled.
I do too. Fun. But it did seem more like I would guess or venture to guess that these things are always there.
Mm-hmm.
And she just happened to kind of catch a little bit of the conversation. She picked up on the frequency for a short period of time, but they're likely sitting there quite often having conversations, I'm thinking, and being the watchtower for that person.
Yeah.
It's very similar. I know I mentioned it, was it on this episode or yesterday's episode of EPP 246, where there's the watching over entities,
mm-hmm.
Very similar fashion.
Yeah.
Two of them. And they're conversating back and forth over that individual. Do you think when you have a watch spirit or a guardian spirit, whatever you want to call it, that everybody... it's interesting because we've had a couple stories here now where it seems there's like two of them for the one person. Do you think everybody gets two, or does everybody get one? And just in some cases, it's like, no, this person really needs two.
I think it just is dependent on the circumstance. You know, maybe this was a couple and they died at the same time.
Yeah.
And so they somehow, I don't know how it works, but they were assigned to her like that. I don't know.
And if it, my other question, and I actually asked this in the EPP episode, is when you have, let's say everyone gets assigned a person when you die, it's just like part of the mm-hmm. deal. It's like, okay, you're dead. Now for a while, you get to go watch somebody and you're assigned that. Just as in the living world, there's plenty of bad caretakers. There's plenty of bad guardians. There's plenty of bad parents that really aren't qualified or cut out to really watch over anyone, any other human being other than themselves,
mm-hmm.
and barely can do that job. Okay. And if everyone at the other side gets assigned a person, what if you end up the person that's assigned to watch your back is one of those people?
Yeah.
Just a kind of a cluster. And it's like, shit, I got this one. It's like, or is that where things just kind of tend to not work out very well for some folks? And it's like, it's really not your fault. It's just the person that's watching over you was a cluster.
Could be.
I suppose you could like rely back on that excuse. It's like, it's not me. The universe gave me this clusterfuck who I've determined in life did this, this, and this. Mm-hmm. And now they're like watching out for me. It's like, I, you know, better off having, you know, Kramer watching out for me than.
Yeah. I mean, and I think your odds are going up rapidly that you're going to get a clusterfuck watching over you when you die or when they die.
Yeah.
Because there's more of them out there now.
Exactly. The more clusters there are, the more your odds go up that your kids and grandchildren are going to have some really shitty guardian angels,
spirits.
Let me this new thing like 100 years from now. It's like, how to rid yourself of shitty guardian spirits. It's like, I know you have good intentions, but I mean, come on. Mm-hmm. Your choices just weren't good in life. Why are you not? You're not guarding. Just go do your own thing. We're good.
Yeah.
It'll be a thing. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Next one says, hey guys, don't usually listen to things like this, but I've been listening to your podcast for almost a year now and thought it's only right to write in and provide a story for extra content on your show. This experience is about my mother. I'm born and grew up in Canada around 2 years ago. Moved to Canada around 2 years ago, but in the home I grew up in, strange things used to happen, which we still own and my parents still live at. When I was younger, I don't remember this, but my mother told me that she used to see a guy who would walk around the house every day. She did not recognize him. He was old, dressed in white, and he'd walk past the bedrooms and sit on the couches. And my mom would freak out and tell my father. My father wouldn't believe her. He'd tell her to tell him to F off and go away. And my mom would cry, but the guy in white would never say anything to her. He'd walk around as if another person was living there. She did not know who he was and had never seen him before. After, eventually, he disappeared. When I try to talk to her about it now, she tells me to stop asking questions about it, and she gets really frightened. She's not seen this person for a very long time, and I hope it stays that way. I don't believe a lot in stories that I hear, but the life my mother has gone through, I know she would not lie about something like this. Another story of my mother, again, is when she used to work for a tech company in the 80s at a very old factory. She was a manager, and it was a great job. Her boss would receive phone calls from the police late at night to come to the factory, as the alarm would be triggered every night. Sometimes the alarm would be triggered, or sometimes there would be noise complaints. People would complain, saying it sounded like a party. When the police arrived, be quiet. So one night, my mom worked till late and went to the washroom. As she was washing her hands, she hears a door slowly creep open with a white, bluish fingers and long black nails, and then stop midway. She says she froze, and the fingers slowly pulled back from the door, and the door closed. She gets goosebumps talking about it. My mom never makes things like this up, and she has had the hardest life I know, and would not joke about things like this. We're very close, and we know in our religion, it talks about things like this, and we all believe that they do exist. I have more stories. I'll still try to call in and tell some more on my own eventually. Hopefully these make it to the podcast, and I can listen to the episode. Keep up the great work. Your show is amazing. I'm going to butcher your name. I'll just say Mr. Singh, because I'm going to screw up your name, and I don't want to do that. So, thoughts?
I think I'd have to quit my job if I saw a hand like that come through the door and then just kind of sneak away.
A bluish hand?
Yeah, a bluish hand with black nails, like, coming around the corner.
What they failed to mention was that they work at the Mirage Hotel in Las Vegas, and Blue Man Group was playing that night.
No, that's
just,
not it.
They're just kind of going in.
No, I don't think I could work there anymore.
Yeah, I mean, that just kind of takes it to, like, monster level.
Mm-hmm.
When you have the Blue Man Group. Wasn't, what was the movie? Wasn't the monster kind of blue in that? Was it the Fred Savage at Little Monsters?
Little Monsters. He was kind of purple.
Little Monsters. No, he's blue.
He's blue?
He's blue.
Okay, bonus points if you know who played the monster. Don't Google it.
I already pressed Little Monsters. Who played them?
You'll never.
No shit.
Yeah. You'll never guess.
Howie Mandel.
He played the monster in that movie.
I did not know that. Daniel Stern.
Yeah, he was the dad.
Ben Savage was also in it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really recognize anybody else. Little Monsters. There you go. That was a movie that I... Was that where like you hang your legs off the side of the bed and was that how it went down?
I don't remember. I was about Harp's age last time I saw that.
Okay. It's not one you like to watch as an adult over and over again?
No. No, I remember one thing from that, and they went to the bully's house. This kid was being picked on and they emptied his apple juice out of the jar and peed in it.
I kind of remember that.
Yeah, that's all I remember from that movie. That and the monster being kind of purple blue.
Wow. There was another movie that came out around that time I remember watching, and it was like, it's not paranormal based, but I don't know why I always associate the two. Maybe Fred Savage was in that one too. What was the one where the kid was like the Nintendo genius and then they went to like the competition and he was like a savant at playing Super Mario Brothers 3? Remember that one?
Mm-mm.
It was very probably like the same year.
No, I don't know that one.
Super Mario Brothers 3 Wizard. I'm just going to see. Maybe it was called The Wizard. The Wizard! It was The Wizard. Is Fred Savage in that one? I'm trying to look at the movie poster. I think he was. Yes, that's why I associate the two, because Fred Savage is also in that movie.
Okay.
Another classic that you need to watch.
No. I don't think so.
And bring back plenty of memories. I think in my mind, I intertwined the two movies. Like, it was a little monster. Then they went to play Nintendo.
Sure.
And it was like, no, it was totally different movie. So there you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. That'd be a fun Facebook post, is a mashup of movies. Like, if you could combine two movies to create a really fucked up plot line. It has to be the same actor in both movies, but like in one it's in this role and then the other they're in that role.
Okay.
But somehow it's combined. What could you create?
Huh. When I was really little, I thought that Stand By Me and The Goonies were somehow tied together.
Really?
Yeah, because Corey Feldman was in both, but also there's part in Goonies where Chunk is telling a story about, you know, all these people and getting sick and throwing up and stuff. Well, there's a scene like that in Stand By Me. So I associated the two movies. Had nothing to do with each other at all.
It's weird. When you're a kid, you do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of hard. It's all melding together. Anyway, I'm going to think about that one. I'm sure I came up with some real screwed up ones.
Yeah.
855-853-4802 is our number. Real Ghost Stories Online. Next story. In my lifetime, I've seen ghosts approximately 7 times. Of those times, there are only 2 experiences that I have doubts about. This is simply because I can't trust my recollections. I've heard many people speak of seeing ghosts when they were children. Of the many cases I hear of concerning the subject, some are surprisingly the same. This is my story. It's strange to say that one of my first memories in life is that of seeing a ghost. Many would question how someone could remember something that occurred to you when you were 4 or 5. But I do. I remember relaying this story my entire life to my siblings and friends over the years. My sister remembers me telling her about when I was about 10. It's funny how I can remember the experience, yet not remember telling her about it then. Well, it engraved itself into my memory, and I still see it as vividly today as if it had just happened. I remember I was young, so young that my mother was still carrying me around. For some reason, my parents put me to bed in their room. I remember lying there in this huge bed with a blanket on me. As my mother left, she turned off the main overhead light, but turned on a lamp that sat on the dresser across the room, so it was pretty well lit. The walls, I remember, were that weird green color that was popular in the late 50s to early 60s. The curtains were long and had a long beige color. I don't know what I was thinking, but I believe I was happy just to be lying there and looking around. I was looking at those beige curtains when they started to move, as if the wind was hitting them from behind in the center. I remember those windows as being in 3 parts, a large center section and 2 small side windows. Only the side windows opened, the center did not. Well, anyway, the curtains seemed to sway a little, and the movement got my attention. I watched them for what seemed like a moment, when all of a sudden, it appeared. Just seemed to suddenly fade into view, not slowly like you would see in old ghost movies, but fairly quickly as a spotlight had been turned on. It was a tall hooded figure that glowed a pale bluish green. Didn't reflect any of the light in the room, rather it seemed to cast it very softly. It was tall, I believe. The top of its head, for lack of a better word, was even with the top of the curtain, which, in later years, I figure was about 6'5". I saw no flesh of any kind. It was a floating hood like old monk robes. It was a hood that flowed down the shoulders and a chest, and then nothing. From the waist down, there was nothing. No arms, legs, or feet, just an upper torso that faded down into a mist, then nothing. It stood there for a long moment, as if regarding the room. Well, there was no face. It was looking at me. I could feel it was watching me. I don't remember what I was thinking, if anything, at all, but when it started moving towards me, I started screaming in fear. It had made only a couple of steps when the main overhead light came on and my mother ran through the door. I don't remember seeing it vanish because I was watching her. Thinking back, I can't believe my mother didn't see it, but I guess she didn't. In my way, I vaguely remember telling her about the scary man who came through the window. She told me I was dreaming. Typical, right? Put me back down to sleep right after. I'd settled down. Some people tried to convince me that maybe it was a burglar or a dream, but I know better. We lived in an apartment that was on the fourth floor of a building. There was no fire escape access to any window of the apartment. The building was made of bricks that went straight up with no fancy moldings or places to grasp or climb upward. There simply was no way to get into that room except straight through the door. I can't say why, but I know it wasn't a dream. The first dream I remember happened years later. The things I do remember were fairly traumatic things. I was badly burned by a large pot of very hot coffee around that same time. I remember the accident and the trip to the hospital. I remember being operated on for skin grafts. I remember seeing Santa Claus for the first time. I cried. He was scary. That incident in my mind has always been in those categories of things that were traumatic enough to be remembered. So I'll never be convinced it didn't happen. And over the years, I've come to learn that things that cement in my truth are very much in my things that cement that truth in my mind. One of my sisters relayed to me that years later, when she was a teenager, she saw something very similar to it watching her in another house that we lived in. It's something she doesn't like to talk about. We both agree that while we both were frightened by the thing, we didn't feel it was a threat. It just seemed to be there to watch us. Finally, before I left to join the Air Force, I was in the den of our house playing with a new Polaroid camera that we had just gotten. I was putting it on the shelf, but it slipped from my fingers. I managed to catch it, but in doing so, it fired off a picture. I set the picture down and replaced the camera on the shelf. As I was leaving the room, I picked up the picture to look at it before I threw it away. In the photo, standing before the desk that was in the room, stood a tall hooded figure that was pale greenish blue. It was solid at the top of its hood. It trailed off into nothing. Beside it stood a woman with long hair. She, too, was visible only from the waist up. I left the room in a hurry. We kept the photo for a long time until my mother died. When she did, the photo disappeared, and her things were gathered and either sold or packed away. It seems that is the way with spirits. When you think you have absolute proof of an event, something mysterious happens, and you're left with a bigger mystery than before. Who are these spirits? Are they ghosts of some form, an angel sent over to watch us? I still have no answers yet.
I think it's another, like, guardian spirit, you know, which seems to be our theme today for these two shows that we're recording.
Seems to happen.
Yeah, I think it's something like that, because they said they weren't afraid. Well, they were afraid of it, but they didn't feel like it was there to do anything. It was just there.
You know, the way that the picture was captured on accident of, oh, shit, boom, and then picture is flashed. You know, it makes you wonder if you go into a situation and you accidentally capture something on your phone, you know, which is the natural way of saying camera now. It's. And if you do it accidentally, do you have better odds of capturing it versus walking around going, I have this ghost camera. Show yourself, asshole. You know, is or you know, or do it nicely. Nicely is usually better. Do you have better odds of almost, you know, walking into your ghost investigation like, oh, I'm just playing Angry Birds, and all of a sudden, and you just do like the rapid shot all around the room. It's like, I gotcha. That sort of a strategy. Walk to the next room. Oh, I'm playing Crossy Road. Also, boom, you see the photos. and you startle them and you get the photos without them realizing you're about to take photos.
I don't know.
It's like people, you know, mm-hmm. when you take photos of people or and they don't expect it, they're like, oh, shit. You're like, are ghosts the same way? It'd be really interesting to suddenly capture a ghost photo in like a gotcha shot and their arms are up like, ah, like a really bad pose.
That'd be funny.
You're like, shit, no, you weren't supposed to see me, you know, because that's almost seems to be like kind of what was caught here.
Mm-hmm.
It's like these two spirits, they weren't expecting to be on camera, but boom, someone dropped the camera.
Mm-hmm.
You know, assuming the ghost can't predict when you're going to be a klutz.
Maybe you can accidentally catch them. I don't know.
It's a new tactic to ghost hunting. Everybody thinks you got to be super intentional.
Mm-hmm.
All this equipment. Just walk around and pretend you're doing something else. Yeah. And all of a sudden, boom. Gotcha. Gotcha ghost hunting. There's the name of the company. Gotcha ghost hunting. Huh. I don't think that would work out well. It'd be great, though, to get some shots of the ghost. No. And all of a sudden, you hear, like, in the EVPs, it says, delete that photo, just like a person would today. It is weird now. It is totally easy to say in our vernacular, get your phone out and take a picture.
Yeah.
Just that sentence. Saying it. Just think of saying that sentence 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. Get your phone out and take a picture.
Yeah. It'd be time to take somebody to get their head examined.
What the hell are you talking? Get your phone out and take a picture.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they did Back to the Future today, that would be a line that you'd put in there and be like, what? Get your phone out. Be like Pepsi free.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to give you a Pepsi for free, you know.
Yeah.
So that would work. All right. That's going to wrap up the show for today. If you want to come see us live at the Crescent, August 11th of 2019. That's where we're going to be. It's Real Ghost Stories Online and The Grave Talks Live. Tickets are limited. They're on sale. RealGhostStoriesOnline.com. Go there to get your tickets. Click on the link. Get them through Eventbrite. And get them before they sell out. It's going to be a fun night. We're going to do an episode of Real Ghost Stories Online and The Grave Talks. There are some special room discounts through the Crescent. You can find out how to get all that at RealGhostStoriesOnline.com. If you like the show, keep us on the air. EPP, become one. GhostPodcast.com to do that, or Patreon.com/RealGhostStories. $5 a month gets you access to everything in advance, advanced episodes, advanced information on live shows, and of course, all of the EPP bonus episodes, brand new ones every single week at GhostPodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.